bawdy Brits, lots of politics, and a brand new Australian pavilion. Yes, it's the Venice Biennale. And arts commentator Julie Ewington joins us now on the line, on the telephone, in fact, from Venice. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Paint a picture for us. It's been up and running for 4 days. Now, what's this phase of the event known as?
The Vernissage. It's one of the biggest tickets in the art world, so about 5,000 press and any number of arts professionals, including all the people who've been here to install the shows. But basically, it's like an art world convention with artists and dealers, writers, pundits, collectors, museums, everyone on the prowl, everyone looking, racing around Venice, trying to see as much as one possibly can. So it's a very intense professional period, incredibly important for artists, including all the Australians, obviously, because so many people from across the world see the work.
So what's been the reaction to the Australian artists in Venice, particularly to Fiona Hall in the brand new Australian Pavilion?
Terrific. Hall's a wonderful artist, and the responses to her work, they've been really warm, really enthusiastic. I mean, we know her work, we know it and we love it, but the point about being in Venice is to get the work in front of all sorts of other audiences, all sorts of other visitors who don't know the work. So that's been really interesting. For example, I spoke to, as it happens, the Canadian commissioner and the German commissioner, the people in charge of those pavilions. They love the work. Not everybody's of the same opinion, but it's been a fabulous response. And her work is so very different, you know, from anybody else's in the world. So I think it's been very successful.
Fiona, as well as being a very beautiful craftsperson, she's able to knit and weave and make all these lovely objects, often out of found material. But she does have a political point to make. She is reflecting on the way in which, well, the modern world or people, modern people, are trashing the natural environment. Is that sort of politics coming through? Because I imagine it's quite poignant in a city that's sinking.
It is. The politics do come through loud and clear. She wouldn't use any of those materials like the knitted Coca-Cola tins or the painted banknotes if it wasn't because those very materials and those ways of handling them make those points. They are embedded in, embodied in those materials. So the camouflage, military camouflage materials that have been now shredded and turned into kind of ghostly heads with hanging tails, they can only be done in camouflage material. So those things are very freighted, and this kind of audience gets that immediately. She's unlike other, you said crafting, she's unlike a lot of other artists in that it's always handmade, it's always made directly by her, and that really speaks, I think, as something very unusual, direct and kind of engaging at the minute.
You mean in this age when there are so many sculptors who do a design and then send it to a workshop for other people to actually execute?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not that it's more or less authentic. It's just that it's engaging in a very particular way. You have to imagine, you can imagine that you might have been the one that knitted that or you might have been the one that kind of put that together. So it engages people at a very direct level, I think. The reception to the pavilion, we should talk about that, I guess. John Denton of Denton Booker Marshall's Pavilion, it's sensational. And again, to quote one of the other commissioners, everyone is very jealous. Because it's the first new building there for 20 years. It's the first 21st century building to be built in Venice at all, where mostly it's just repairing. It's very, very good. Very simple, very, very monolithic. Just excellent facilities in every way. It'll be wonderful to work in. It's a heritage building now, and it'll be worked in, I think, for hundreds of years.
So the exterior is clad in this dark granite. I wondered whether it looked a bit brooding or forbidding, a bit funereal.
Certainly brooding. It hangs over the little canal at the back because there's a little bridge, and that goes to what I call the back lot, rather sort of rudely, which is a smaller area where there are a number of national pavilions out the back. But you see, most of the others were built in the sort of Art Deco period, and they're white and brooding, and some people even say rather rudely fascist in style. So the monolithic aspect of the Australian pavilion, even though it's black granite, does sort of speak to the monolithic aspect of the other pavilions around it, like Great Britain, for example, or Germany or France. And I don't think it's out of character. It looks incredibly handsome as you look down the canal towards the lagoon. And inside, I think there's been a very nice kind of response to the grand spaces of those other pavilions from the 30s and the 40s. So I'm a fan. I think it's wonderful.
And Julie, just taking a wider look at the event, are there big themes? Does it make sense to talk about big themes emerging at the Venice Biennale, a kind of conversation?
Well, Joaquin Weyser, who's the director of the Biennale, is a man given to big themes, and he has a big role. He's had a very big role in the art world over the last 20 years. As you know, the title of the Biennale is All the World's Futures, and some commentators I've noticed have been not so sure about the idea of future. They say the Biennale looks to the past. I looked at the title again, and I thought it's about all the worlds, and this Biennale is very much about inclusiveness, about diasporas, about different populations, different peoples. And Weyser's Nigerian-born. He's the first and most important of the African-born curators in the last 20 years who've been redrawing the map of contemporary global art. And this show has an enormous number of artists from the black diasporas, UK, USA, across the African continent. It's completely different in tenor. That's his historic role, and he has exercised it. So that's a really big theme. With all of that, the centrepiece, very controversially or provocatively, if you can be provocative about a book that's 170 years old, is to feature Marx's Capital and daily readings in a performative arena that's been built in the middle of the old pavilion. So there's a kind of gauntlet thrown down there. And some of the American visitors don't like it so much, actually, which is interesting.
Well, no, readings from the Bible of communism.
Exactly. I mean, I thought about it, and I thought, is this what, you know, the late Nick Waterlow would have called the necessary gimmick to every Biennale? And then I thought, well, if there's going to be a Bible for the modern era, what would it be if it were not Capital? So I thought, okay, I can pay out on that. But the performance of that is, it's like a kind of a flag that says, let us consider justice, let us consider resources, let us consider the distribution, in fact, of the world's resources and future. So it is very big thematically.
Well, and to speak seriously about it, it's not just a kind of mischievous joke. Here we are all over the world trying to understand how capitalism works, because capitalism appears to have become dysfunctional. And here is one of the great analyses of capitalism. So it ought to be in the mix.
This is exactly right. And I just want to say one sentence from Joaquin Weyser's introduction to the Biennale guide. He says, the principal question the exhibition will pose is this: how can artists, thinkers, writers, composers, choreographers, you know, and so on, bring together publics in order to make sense of the current upheaval?
Which raises the question of whether the publics are coming, Julie.
The publics are going to come. The publics are coming already. I looked up the numbers. The last Biennale probably got about 450,000 people. It topped 400,000 with 3 weeks to go. No reason to think this one won't have as many. And this is just the opening weekend. They're flocking in and looking very attentively, as European audiences do. I should say that it's not only at the traditional Giardini and Arsenale part. The exhibition's not only the Giardini and the Arsenale. There are off-site.
And Julie, as we wind up, what are some of the other highlights that have caught your eye?
Iceland has installed a mosque in a decommissioned Catholic church. It's never been allowed in Venice before. I went there. It's extraordinary. There was some talk of it being closed down because of public disorder, but it was very, very peaceful on a Sunday morning. Simon Denny from New Zealand in the historical Marciana Library, incredible, about power and banality, but mapped onto one of the old institutions of what was a brutal oligarchy, really. I think it's a terrific show. I think that's coming out. It's tough and abrasive and muscular, but it's also very compassionate and humane. finally, on a pretty personal note, there are so many women artists in this show, both in the national pavilions and in the curated exhibition. It's something I've been waiting for.
And we're there with a woman artist speaking for Australia. Julie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to talk to you.
Thanks, Michael.
Julie Ewington reporting from the Venice Biennale. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts.